Hi, everyone. Your company probably thinks it has a great culture, but how do you know for sure? We'll be talking about that and more in today's episode. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Ethical culture matters to employees, investors, and all stakeholders. Companies that have strong, values-based cultures are better places to work and well-poised for long-term success. Case in point, this year's ethics premium is 12.3%. That's the amount by which the publicly listed honorees of the 2024 World's Most Ethical Companies outperformed a comparable index of global companies from January 2019 to January 2024. 12.3%. Specific metrics like this are instrumental not only for helping to prove the value of a strong ethical culture, but they help organizations better understand where their cultural strengths and opportunities for improvement lie. By elevating culture from a subjective art to an empirical process, business integrity becomes something that is achievable, measurable, repeatable, and sustainable. With us today to talk about how organizations can best measure, analyze, and improve their ethical culture is Curtis Light, Senior Culture Analyst at Ethisphere. Curtis, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be back, Bill.
When people think of culture, they often think of it as this subjective, unquantifiable thing, but we know that's not true. So can you talk a little bit about why organizations should measure their culture and how they can go about doing it?
Yeah, certainly. We think about ethical culture as kind of closing the loop between your ethics and compliance program and the lived experience of the employees. At Ethisphere, we measure culture in 8 different pillars, things like speak up culture, pressure, organizational justice, managers, senior leadership, things like that. But you're right, Bill, you can measure it typically through things like surveys. You want to make sure you have some sort of robust benchmark with that. Again, data in a vacuum is kind of useless. So having something as a comparison tool can really help. So it's not this kind of amorphous thing that you just kind of hope works out, right? Organizations are taking concrete steps to make sure that their culture is strong and addressing problem areas, celebrating successes, strengths, things like that. And typically they start that process through some sort of measurement effort to see where they're at, to kind of get a gauge of how the employees are feeling about the program and different things like that.
So can you walk us through a bit about Ethisphere's own measurement process for measuring culture?
So at Ethisphere, we partner closely with organizations to both help plan their surveys. So when they want to survey, the topics, of course, we have kind of our standard topics that we survey, but we also help them know what this data means afterwards. Oftentimes you're getting thousands, if not tens of thousands of data points. How do you slice and dice that data? Are there differences in your organization from department to department? Are there differences from country to country? And so really diving into what are those differences? How does that compare to a peer benchmark? It provides a lot of context for organizations where they may not be sure where to start sometimes, but it also can help focus resources. Resources are finite for every department. So whether that's focusing on a particular topic or a particular area of the business that might be struggling more than others. Also, kind of on the bright side, it can help identify areas of the business that are doing really well. So that could be a topic that you're really strong in culture and sharing that success, or it could be a particular business unit or manager or senior leader that's really crushing it in a specific area. And how can you take what they're doing and kind of monopolize that across the organization?
When a company undergoes, you know, a cultural survey and they're starting to measure their culture, like you said, it can produce thousands, if not tens of thousands of data points. So, you know, data is kind of the gold on which you can measure these things. But once you have that data and you've worked to analyze it and really kind of understand what story it's telling you, how long is that data good for? Like, what's the half-life of this between measurement operations to really make sure that you're always working on data that is still relevant?
Great question. There's not really one answer for organizations, but data does get stale. Typically, we see organizations measure either on an annual basis or 18 months or every 2 years, something like that. The main reason is, think of big events in the world like COVID. That really changed the experience for a lot of employees. A lot of employees went from on-site all the time to remote entirely, and then maybe back to hybrid, and how they interact with the organization really changed. The types of things that they see and hear from their coworkers, their manager changed. So that's always happening. COVID is a really clear example, but that's always happening to some extent. There could also be organizational changes, leadership changes, reorganizations, different pressures depending on economic conditions. There's a lot of factors. So you want to measure on a relatively regular basis to both see how those types of things are affecting your organization, but also when you make changes in your program, to see what effect that change has made on the ethical culture. So maybe you really addressed a particular area, like perceptions of non-retaliation, whether people believe in your non-retaliation policy. You'll want to remeasure to see if that work actually made a difference, and then adjust if it didn't, or if it did, celebrate that success.
How important is messaging and communications when it comes to improving organizational culture? And what's an area where you see the most organizations struggling in this respect?
It's incredibly important. I think a lot of compliance departments know this already, but it's just knowing how important it is doesn't necessarily make it easy. Because you, as a compliance program, you have a lot of control over what you do and the messages that you specifically put out. But what we see being most effective is when people outside of the compliance program can also echo that message. So there's a lot of gaining buy-in from stakeholders and different things like that. But you also want to think about not just the message that you're sending. So like the words on the page, the content in the email or on the SharePoint site, but who's sending that message, who's talking about it, who's backing it up. Because if it always comes from the same source all the time, and that's just the ethics and compliance department, that can be something that's really easy to control. But at the same time, you're likely missing a little bit of an effect from that messaging if you were to incorporate people like senior leaders outside of ethics and compliance, or kind of middle managers, or even engaging direct managers kind of at the lower level to talk about the messaging.
Can you talk about the role that managers play as the point person for employee perception of the health of the organization's culture?
They're incredibly important. I kind of alluded to this a little bit when talking about the messaging, but when we look at our culture data, managers are kind of the most trusted person in someone's work life. You work really closely with your direct manager. So we see in 2023 in our data, 90.9% of employees believe that their manager acts ethically at all times. But that number for senior leadership is only 78.5. So there's a little bit of a gap there in our data. And largely we think about this as people interact with their immediate manager a lot more than senior leadership. They interact in more of a direct way, either in person, day-to-day on Zoom calls, or via Slack or what have you, right? And there's kind of a bit of a distance between senior leadership and the bulk of your employees. There's layers of the organization, there's less interaction. So knowing that immediate managers are kind of a little bit more of a trusted source of information, you can utilize them as kind of a corroborator of your messaging, or to have them align their conversations, their messaging to their team with your compliance program messaging around key topics. So what we really talk about a lot with organizations is engaging managers to echo that message. If you can gain buy-in from your managers on a particular topic that you want to improve, and have them echo the messaging that's coming from the compliance program or department and senior leadership, that will have an effect on employees because it's coming from a trusted source of information, somebody that they trust internally. So as an example, say say you have a great non-retaliation policy, you have a lot of messaging around it. Oftentimes we'll hear, we message around this all the time. I don't know why employees don't have, why they don't have faith in this policy. Mm-hmm. If you can engage managers to talk about that policy and how it is enforced at the organizational level, that's coming from a source of trust. And so that can really gain that, that level of trust for employees. So one of the things that we measure is kind of how frequently do conversations happen between managers and their direct reports on ethics and compliance issues. This doesn't have to be a dedicated conversation. It could be a part of a larger conversation, part of a team meeting, what have you. But we know that there's often a strong correlation between frequency of those conversations from direct managers and positive perceptions about other key areas that we measure. So for example, if managers are having conversations monthly, in our 2023 data, 88% of their employees that are having these conversations monthly believe that the company enforces the non-retaliation policy. But if they're only having conversations about ethics and compliance related issues annually, that drops to 70.5%. So there's a big impact there that we can kind of glean from that correlation. So it really shows that when managers are echoing this message or aligned with the message, that makes your efforts in the ethics and compliance department a lot more effective because it's coming from a source that's trusted already.
You laid out just how important the manager's role is in being that arbiter of culture. How much of a onus does this put on the organization to make sure that their managers are adequately trained to really be that front line of culture? And what kind of training do they typically require in this?
It's a big piece of it. And managers, we kind of feel like they're kind of like the heart of your culture. They're the big lever that you can pull to affect cultural change. So when you're thinking about your managers, I always like to think about how they're asked to do a lot. They're asked to do a lot from different departments. They're asked to do a lot from their direct reports, their manager, of course. So it's important when we're thinking about training managers to have these conversations to remember that their time is scarce. So when we're talking about, hey, can you have more of these conversations? I always like to think about, can we incorporate this conversation into something else that's already happening? Maybe it's a weekly team meeting. Maybe it's during their one-on-ones with their direct reports. It doesn't always have to be a brand new thing. We don't always have to reinvent the wheel in that way. But it's important to remember that managers are asked to do a lot. And so gaining even 5 minutes of their time to have a conversation can be difficult. And so that's certainly something to look into if you're measuring culture and you're not seeing the conversation rates that you would like. Also, if you're seeing just poor perceptions of managers in general, is what's that hiring process look like? Is ethics and compliance a piece of that? Is just something to look into.
Now, without naming names, I'm not asking you to call anybody out here, but can you give us an example of an organization that really got some terrific results in advancing their culture once they started to measure it?
Yeah, there are a few that come to mind. So I'll kind of talk about some common themes between them, some things that we see. First of all, kind of going back to our first question, they know where they stand when it comes to ethical culture. It starts with knowing where your culture is at, because then you know exactly where to focus your efforts and your time and resources. And they also know how engaged their managers are and whether that's something that's helping their cause or corroborating their message, kind of reinforcing their message. And part of the ways that some of the best organizations do this is they provide resources and tools for managers to have the conversation. Sometimes ethics and compliance topics can be a little tough to start a conversation on. It may seem a little bit of a non-interesting topic, but there are ways to make it an interesting conversation. And also just remind them that their employees are probably wondering how some of this stuff works. They get training about it on an annual basis probably. And so they're wondering, does this really work this way? Is the organization really going to for example, protect me if I need to report misconduct, giving them conversation starters, toolkits, things like that. Another thing that we see is leadership buy-in throughout the organization. So again, not just the ethics and compliance department, not just senior leaders, but when you can get people's direct managers all the way down the chain having the conversations, that tends to have a big impact. And then occasionally we'll see organizations incorporate kind of ethics and compliance as kind of a key factor in how they evaluate managers. So this could be something as formal as putting it as a small piece of an annual review process, or just, you know, something that they consider when somebody moves up in the organization. Do they kind of embody our ethical culture? Do they embody our core values? And how does that kind of translate as they move up in the organization? If people feel like this is a way to differentiate themselves and make themselves stand out in their career goals, then they tend to care a little bit more about it too. So those are just some things that are commonalities between some of the organizations.
Well, Curtis, thank you so much for coming onto the show and lending us your insights on why culture matters and how companies can best advance their culture through measurement and analysis.
Thanks, Bill.
For a wealth of free reports, presentations, webinars, and more, visit the Ethisphere Resource Center at ethisphere.com/resources. Be sure to check out our 2023 Ethical Culture Report, Lessons from the Pandemic, in which Ethisphere's culture experts cover key data findings that you can immediately put to use within your organization. And while you're at the Resource Center, help yourself to a copy of The 8 Pillars of an Ethical Culture, our special report that describes the most important aspects of a culture of integrity, from perceptions of the ethics and compliance function to perceptions of leadership and more. And finally, to connect with the Ethisphere culture team and learn how you can measure and elevate your organization's culture, please visit ethisphere.com/solutions. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe either on YouTube or on our podcasting platforms at Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Music. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.